was a continuation in worship. I just felt God saying he needed his name declared. Father, your name is a strong tower. You are a refuge, Lord. When your children call out to your name, they will not be dismayed. They will not be discouraged. When we say the name of the Lord, the name that is above all names, all creation, all heavens, and all earth, we are saved. Salvation belongs to those that call on the name of the Lord. Father God, when we call your name, we are covered in your blood. The prisoners are set free. You call us out of captivity and into freedom and into truth. Lord, you are truth. You are light. You want to seep us in your presence and in your truth so that we are changed. Our heart is changed. Our spirit is changed because of who you are. You are good, Lord. Your name is a strong tower, Father God, and we call on your name right now for all those that are in captivity. I just encourage you, if the Lord puts one of his names on your lips, speak it out like honey. Let it flow. You are Yeshua. You are good. You are the provider, Lord. Your name fills the heavens and the earth. Your glory cannot contain it. The ever-expansive universe contains your treasures. You are good. You are the shepherd. You are kind. You are compassionate. Lord, you are compassionate. You are the Father. You are good. There's no name above your name. In all the heavens and all the earth, we declare your glory. And all your children cry out, freedom, holy, 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 holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. You are worthy. Lord, right now I just call out on behalf of everyone in captivity to human trafficking that you are Lord. Your name is holy. Holy, holy, holy. You will set the captives free. You bring freedom. You bring truth. You are holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Scott, I just got a totally similar word. I know... something in New Heritage, how the trip to Lexington Market was canceled this weekend and because of the rain, but I feel like God was just saying, I'm bringing the rain, and I'm bringing the rain for a reason. And that same just freedom from captivity, just Isaiah 61 has been on my heart this whole week. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, a diadem instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, take back the land. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. So Lord Jesus, yes, we just proclaim freedom for the captives, Lord God. We just proclaim that you are bringing the rain, Lord God. You are bringing a fresh anointing, Lord Jesus, for our youth, Lord God. We just had an amazing prayer meeting where the young people were getting hit with joy. This boy was saying, I can't stop smiling. I can't stop smiling. All of a sudden, I just can't stop smiling, Lord God. So that joy anointing, Lord God, is going to lead to the overflow of, but to binding up the brokenhearted, Lord God, and releasing from captivity the prisoners, Lord God. I pray that the oil of joy would just anoint this place, Lord God. The oil of joy would just fill this place, Lord God, that we would just seek your face, Lord. We would see you face to face. We would have that same face-to-face relationship that Abraham did, Lord God, and that we would just totally see you, God. Jesus, Lord.
Allison.
During worship, I felt the Lord said he's giving out remembrances. And I really puzzled over that the whole time and what that meant. And I'm not clear, and you might be clear, but I feel like he's saying to us, ask me for remembrances. Remind yourself of what I've done for you. Remind yourself of what I've done for you in your life, your original testimony, and what I've done for you throughout history, what I've done for you. Remember, so ask him, and I'm going to just pray that we would ask him. Lord God, we ask you now collectively, please give us those remembrances so that we know your power, we know your glory, we know your closeness to us, Lord God, and we can see our walk with you into the future, Lord. We ask your blessing on this congregation. generation and anything that's in the way of that blessing, we ask you to move it out and give us those remembrances in Jesus' name.
Yeah, just to pick up on that, as Allison was praying, I just felt a heaviness in my chest, and I think some of you are having difficulty doing that because you're going through a heavy time. And your spirit is heavy. Your soul is weighed down. So if that's you this morning, just place your hand on your chest, on your heart. And if you see somebody next to you with their hand on their heart, place your hand on them, please. Yes, Lord. Father, I'm asking this morning for grace upon grace, for grace to be released right now. Lord, you came to bind up the brokenhearted. You did come to set the captives free. And you say to all of us who are heavy laden to come unto you, Lord, you are our only hope. And you're here this morning, so we come to you, the only one who can give our heart rest. Or though the circumstances may not change right away, Lord, you can come and give our heart rest right now and peace. So Lord, I just release peace and rest over you in Yeshua's name. Receive.
One of the things I feel like the Lord speaking to me Friday night at that prayer meeting with all the youth, it started out, they naturally just started putting their arms around each other. And then after that, the spirit just fell and kids were getting freed and crying and repenting, and God's and a spirit of worship came. But what I feel like the Lord's speaking to me is that we need each other. When one part of the body weeps, we all weep. When one part of the body rejoices, even though we're suffering, we rejoice with them. And God is calling us to have a safe place with one another. If we're hurt, to not be offended, but to tell the person because we love. So I just want you to put your hand on the person next to you. Like we did, just say, God, I just want to bless my brother and my sister. And I'm believing the Lord's given me from Gladiator that one scene where they were totally outnumbered. And he said, I've seen this before. He said, if we remain one, we will win. And they beat that big army with all the weapons because of their oneness. And how much more with Jesus Christ, who said before he went to the cross that we would be one as the Father and him are one in the Holy Spirit. So this is our inheritance. It's what's been warred against. It's the enemy's greatest weapon is divide and conquer. Why does someone not come back to the church? Because they don't feel loved. I don't care how great everything is, the program, it's about the love of God, loving one another like John said, and not judging one another and letting the Holy Spirit do his work. And I've been convicted myself with my own kids. I said, Lord, I just want to be a safe place for them. I don't want to be a person of law so that they can't come to me. I want to be a person of grace that trusts the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pray for that oneness again. So Lord Jesus, we thank you. And we declare, God, that over Maryland, God, that this is a place of oneness. God, that the Lamb of God started and got attacked. God, that we're renewing our allegiance of oneness to be one army, God, that takes back everything that's ours and then some. My sister Nicola just talked about the vastness of who Jesus is. God, we want the vastness. God, we don't want to be limited, God, by our past. We are not defined by our past, by things we've done. We're defined by the love that Jesus Christ has for us and what he won at the cross. I'm sorry, I just went off.
Okay, a couple more. Lynn.
I think one of the things the Lord wants us to leave behind in 2014 is we came in here with an old coat, and you know, anytime you're spending a lot of time with your family, there's probably all those old little barbs come up and things. I don't know about your family. Maybe everybody's always happy and loving, but I just think in 2015, let's put on, we just choose joy. We choose forgiveness. We choose all any little barbs, bitterness, offenses, things that we just have let, little crevices that look like deep chasms. Oh, bind up the wounded, Lord God. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise your name, Lord God. You are above all those things. And you said, we just forgive each other. We find joy at your right hand. We choose joy. We choose to leave all that junk behind. And we say, 2015, I'm putting on the cloak of joy. I'm going to walk in the joy of the Lord. And that, just like that song that Paul led us in about that Job's words, naked I came into the world naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Whether we're in pain or in wonderful time of our life, we just say, Lord, I choose joy. I choose joy in my family relationships. I choose joy in my marriage. I choose joy to walk into my office with joy and to walk into this church ready to be a joy dispenser of Jesus. Jesus is joy at his right hand because he's experiencing joy at the right hand of his Father forever.
Thank you, Lynn. Andrew.
You know, a lot these days, lots of people will try to tell you that you can't do something. They'll tell you, be like everybody else. They take out your individuality. But Jesus didn't make us like that. He made us to be unique. You know, I felt like that sometimes because of things people said to me, but my friend told me to say to myself, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not an accident and you're not a mistake. So don't let anybody bring you down. Be who you were made to be.
Yes. Last but not least, Tamara.
Just a simple picture. We know that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and our fires are stoked through praise and worship. And picture yourself as an incense burner. Father, from here we go into our homes, and we fill our homes with your presence because you're burning within us, and you fill the area around us. Lord, we're incense burners as we go to the grocery store, and the fragrance wafts down the aisles with us. Lord, we are your incense burners as we go into our offices and our workplaces, as we go into hard situations. Lord, your fragrance goes with us, and not only does it change us, but it changes those around us. As Lynn just said, not only are we joy dispensers, Lord, we are our Holy Spirit dispensers, and may that be who we are in this new year.
Thank you. Don't you just love body ministry? It's my favorite part, I think. Thank you all for sharing. Well, as we transition, I'd like to have our... Simeon has part of a ministry called, I think I pronounce it right, RIFO?
Yep.
RIFO.
Yep.
And tell me if I got this right, Simeon. It's a nonprofit advocate for outreach to musicians working to create movements of discipleship among musicians who are outside of the local church. Did I get that right?
Get that right.
All right. Well, anyhow, why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so I'm going to save a lot of the juicy details for the luncheon, so just as a teaser that you guys would come to that. But I'm really here this morning to share with you my story. As Fred mentioned, I did grow up in this church, and so it's an honor to be able to come and share with you guys this morning. Really, my story is your story, and what I've received of a spiritual legacy from this church has been formational in where we are today. I was just going to say something, but my wife and I and our little boy live in California. If you're familiar with the geography, we're in Orange County, which is kind of between L.A. and San Diego. And so it's 75 there right now and sunny. but we decided to spend an extended time here in Maryland with family. You guys may also know my brother Jason. He grew up in the church. He got married last Monday. So we had a chance to be a part of that and Christmas, and it's been a great time. So before I jump into my story, I do have some slides and some pictures to share with you guys. But I just want to open us in prayer and invite the Lord to speak this morning through me. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. And as Andrew shared, I thank you that you have created us uniquely. Lord, and you have placed in every one of us talents, and gifts, skills. Lord, and as your children, you love us so dearly. And you have reserved a space in us to hear and respond to your voice. So, Lord, would you speak this morning? Would you be stirring hearts to draw closer to you? In Jesus' name. So I've titled this little sharing, A Life on Mission, Responding to the Call of God. Show of hands, who agrees we've been given a mission as followers of Christ? Okay. So we don't have to prove that point. That's good. So I came up with this as I was just thinking about my story. Like I said, I'm here to share my story. It's for you to partner with, because this is your story as well. As I was commissioned and sent by this church when I moved to California 8 years ago. And so that's going to be a big part of what I talk about. But I want to draw a qualifier before I start, and it's this word call. In Christian circles today, we often talk about our calling. We spend a lot of time and energy trying to identify what am I specifically supposed to do that's unique to me. And I think that's really important, and I think God does reveal some specific things that he's tasked us with to respond to. But when I'm talking about responding to the call of God, what I want you guys to realize today is that he's speaking to you. And he's telling you something day by day. We're to pick up our cross and follow him. And so we're talking about responding to God's voice in our lives and the things that he is beckoning us to do. And so a life on mission is about fulfilling the Great Commission, but it's also about responding to a God who wants an intimate relationship with us and who's beckoning us day by day. And so that's part of my story, is that God has been doing that in different ways over the years. And I'm now in a unique position, as I'm going to share over our luncheon. I am a full-time missionary to the music industry. And if you know anything about the music world, it's a pretty dark place. You know, we have this phrase, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that we throw around. And it's for a very real reason, because the environment and the culture is very dark and very in need of the light of Christ. So with that said, responding to the call of God, I will share for those that don't know me the fact that music has been a huge theme of my life since I was Judah's age, probably. But the purpose of music has changed. And so that's what's brought me to where I am today. So the purpose initially was, I want to be like my dad. He's a worship leader in my church. I got my all plastic instruments. And it was about being like dad, and as a lot of kids have that kind of mode early in life. But as I grew up, things started to change. I started to do music for myself. And when I was looking for a university to go to, that was a big motivating factor. I want to find a place that had a lot of opportunities to do music stuff, because I was starting to really embrace a mindset that music is going to be my career. It's my life. And so music was becoming a huge deal. So with that, I chose a small Methodist university in Illinois, Greenville College. Anyone heard of it other than my parents? All right. So Greenville College, that's me, if you're wondering, on the bottom far right. Yeah, as a freshman in college. So I chose Greenville College. They were known at the time as the only school in America that had a contemporary Christian music major. Jars of Clay had come through the school, and so they had a big kind of reputation. A lot of musicians would flock there. And so I knew that it would be a place that would have a lot of opportunities. And so the guys that are pictured here, I met pretty much my first week of school, and we formed a band. This was our second semester. We were down in Kentucky in this picture, outside of a recording studio, recording an album together. And pretty quickly, this group of guys on campus, myself included, began to develop a reputation as one of the better bands on campus, and one that had a lot of potential. And so, you know, here I am, 19 years old, and I'm beginning to embrace a mindset that this is the next 20 years of my life. Like, this is what it's going to be. These are the guys. This is what I was waiting for. And here it is. And so And that was a mindset. We recorded this album. We did some local touring in border states to Illinois and started to really embrace a mindset of, okay, what is it going to take to make it? What do we need to do in music? So then the curveball came. As many have experienced in life, there's these unexpected circumstances that were dealt. And as Fred was talking about, some of those things can be troubling and can be burdening and heavy. So two of the guys in the band that were kind of the main catalyst for a lot of the songwriting came to me. This is my halfway through my sophomore year. And they said, we're dropping out of school and moving to California to do music. And if you want to come, you're welcome to. But if you decide not to, we understand. So here I am, 19 years old, and basically forced to make this decision that I was not ready to make. It was just thrown at me. And it was this major turning point in my life, because this was my passion. This was what I had all of my hopes and dreams wrapped around, was a life of music. And so I spent a week praying about it. And I asked everybody's opinion I remotely cared about. And got to the point where at the end of the week, I had every possible scenario played out. And it was like, well, it could go about 20 different ways. And I just couldn't make a decision. So I'm praying, which probably should have been the first thing I did. But I'm praying at the end of that week, and I heard the most audible voice I've ever heard from the Lord. And he said, if you can't leave without regrets, you shouldn't leave. And so I was forced to wrestle with that, because I had to be honest with myself and say, you know what, like, if I left, there are some things I know I'd be leaving behind that I would regret. And so it was this death of a vision moment for me. I had to say goodbye to my friends. They went off to California. Shortly thereafter, I joined another band. And so this is the evolution of life in college. That's me on the far right again, and obviously doing the puckered face there. This was my most humble days of my life. No. So I joined this other band kind of right away as my buddies left for California. And so I was like, well, maybe this is the band God had for me and not the other one. And this is what I'm going to do. So I shifted my focus to the band I was in now, all the while watching my buddies in California sort of in a fluke way become an overnight success story in the music industry. Within a number of months, they were signed to Sony Epic, and they were on all of the late night shows, Letterman, whatever you can imagine. They were backstage at the Grammys. I mean, millions of dollars thrown at them. Big record contract. And here I am in small town Illinois watching my buddies become famous and beginning to really seriously doubt that I heard God's voice. Beginning to develop serious amounts of bitterness and jealousy. And was just wrestling with this, like, this moment in time where I had made a decision, and I was like, and I had friends in college that are coming up to me and saying, like, do you wish you had gone and all stuff? I'm like, that doesn't help me. But God had something more powerful in store, and that's the story that I'm to tell you guys this morning. As I'm in this other band and as I'm dealing with all these feelings, from a distance, I'm watching my good friends fall prey to the temptations of the music industry. Believers, when I knew them in college, walking away from the Lord over time gradually. And me and another close friend began to develop this broken heart, especially for Christian musicians that were out on the road, isolated with no sense of accountability or support. And the story that my friends were falling prey to was actually a classic tale that many had been dealt. And so after college ended, this band, dissipated, so that wasn't the plan. I began to develop this vision to partner with my good friend to make a difference for the music community and for the sake of the kingdom, because there is such an amazing platform through music to influence generations and culture. And I'm going to talk about a lot of that over our luncheon. So I had this crazy idea. I'm going to move to California, and I'm going to, live this, life of a new college grad and see if we can make something of this idea about ministering to musicians. So I packed up my little car, and I moved to California. This was the fall of 2009. Through Randy's suggestion, 2006, sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I put 2009. 2006, fall of 2006. So this was me entering California in 2006. I was connected to a sister church of this church that's in California which was awesome. And so I kind of like right away transitioned into a community and experience that's exactly, you know, tied to the legacy of this church. And that was God's saving grace, because I was a young college grad and I needed a space where I could really mature in my faith, where people could pour into me, where I could be discipled, mentored. And so the purpose pretty quickly overnight shifted from, you know, well, I'm going to try and like launch this ministry thing to, well, I've got to provide for myself as an adult and I need to grow in my faith. And so that became the theme for about 4 years. So I was working for a finance company because I was a business major, and a part of this church, and God was just forming things in me that were changing purpose that I had thought, especially for music. I had thought it was about a career, and it became about glorifying and worshiping my Savior. It became about expressing the things that lived inside of me through my own writing. And it ultimately did come back to this opportunity to make a difference in the music community through this ministry. God brought me back to that after about 4 years of formation through this leadership group that I went through that helped me kind of rediscover that that was the purpose I had come to California for, but had walked away from it because it wasn't the right time yet. And God brought me back to it in the perfect time. And so I spent 3 years just volunteering, kind of giving my time and energy to this ministry that my buddy had started without me at that point. And along that journey, I met my beautiful wife, Johanna. We started dating. It's funny because when we were still friends, she had this idea that like she was going to live as a missionary one day. And she had cousins that were missionaries in London. And so she asked me this question because she was kind of into me. Would you ever live as a support-raised missionary? And I was like, adamantly no. There's no way that would ever be anything I would do. Working for a finance company where it's about like smart planning for your retirement, you know, all these things. And I really benefited from a lot of, you know, learning and wisdom in the business community. But that was like one thing I was like, no, I will not do that. don't say no to God. Say maybe if you don't want to do it. No. But we started developing a friendship, and she got over the fact that I had a problem because she figured I'd figure it out eventually. We got married, and now we have a son, as you can see there. But along the journey, God started to allow me to take risks and step out and experience the fullness of what he had for me. And again, like I said, music was a theme, and it shifted all throughout these years. It was about being like my dad. It was about making a career of it. It was about worshiping and glorifying God. And now it's about establishing the kingdom in the music community and transforming the lives of musicians because they have a platform to influence culture. And so this was our marriage, and I have a wife that's very supportive. We made a decision a year and a half ago for me to leave the finance company that I was a part of and to go into full-time ministry and to take over the leadership of this ministry to musicians. And so we took that leap of faith together, and God has been providing, and it's been wonderful. Along that journey, we found ourselves on a college campus because my wife got a job at Concordia University, which is a Lutheran school out there. And so we've been living surrounded by college students for 2.5 years now, doing ministry with them, discipling these young kids, inviting them into our home, having prayer and worship times with them, and just loving on them. It's been really special as my wife's job has allowed us to have a space on campus where we can have a welcoming place for students to be cared for, loved. She could tell you all kinds of crazy statistics about the rise of mental health amongst the youth today. It's really sad to see the broken homes that these kids are growing up in. And these are privileged kids that are at a pretty expensive university that are dealing with some really dark stuff. And so God's given us a platform to minister to them. And this is kind of a converging moment, because in the middle of this, sitting on the couch, are three guys that are in a band, Sean Michelle and his band. Sean's the guy with the crazy beard, two over from my wife. And they came and played as a part of an event my wife was putting on with her students. And so it was like the two things that God's given us were overlapping. So I just had loved those moments of like these sweet spots in marriage where we can minister next to each other alongside. And this is just a picture of that, a chance to do ministry in our home that's touching both of our hearts that God's given us a passion for. And so that's where we are today. At the end of this school year, we're going to be transitioning and relocating. My wife's job is ending, and so we're praying about what God has for us next. But the plan is for me to continue in full-time ministry, and we're going to see what God has in store for her. She has a huge heart for the abolition of sex trafficking, as she prayed about, and so there may be opportunities for her to venture into that. But I really want to leave you with three things. A life on mission is about not giving up on your dreams. God has placed things in your heart, and I believe this for every one of you, that are non-negotiable values and things that you want to see change in the culture around you. Whatever your sphere of influence is, God's given you an eye to see a need, and he's given you a platform to respond to that need. And he might change the purpose that you think it exists for, but don't give up on it. Because he's at work in the midst of the things that he's given you a burden for. That said, nothing is wasted. There is a reason that God is taking us through sometimes difficult stuff. And the question that is pivotal for us to be asking in the midst of difficulty especially is, what is God about? What is he doing? Not why is this happening to me? And so I would just challenge you to think about the fact that your experiences, the things that you're going through, even maybe right now, it's not about why. It's about what he's doing, what he's developing in us, because it's not a waste. In his kingdom, there's no waste. The final thing is about how we posture ourselves to the Lord, and it's about availability. He can't use us if we're not available. So are we positioned to say, here am I, Lord, send me, use me, interrupt my agenda. I'm available for you, for your purposes in my life. Let you be glorified. Less of me, more of you, but I'm available. If we're not posturing ourselves for availability, we're not going to be able to live in response to the things he's calling us to. I'm trying to see if she wants to say anything.
The way we had planned this morning was if the baby was okay, I could come and say something. So I wasn't fully prepared. But as Simeon was sharing, I remember there's been times when I've been sitting in, you know, churches or conferences, and I hear people sharing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, their life sounds amazing, and they must be these crazy risk takers, and they're so adventurous, and they're off doing these phenomenal things. And the last 3 years when we've been entering into ministry have been some of the hardest years of our lives. And so I just wanted to pull that veil back and just tell you, like, you know, responding to a life of mission, it doesn't mean that everything is so peachy and wonderful and we're walking around on clouds and everywhere we go is ministries breaking out and wonderful things are happening. We live in a campus where, even though it's a Christian campus, there's a lot of darkness. Yeah. And we see people in crazy captivity, and we ourselves have to battle through that. You know, and I find myself on a daily basis, you know, experiencing around me just the heartache and the brokenness and the depression that's there and the hopelessness. And it's like we have to trudge through that too. You know, we're not exempt from feeling and experiencing the heartache that's going on. And we have our own heartache. And so we're ministering in the middle of that. We keep saying, you know, our marriage is lived in the trenches. You know, we're down here too in the trenches. And that's part of, you know, hearing God's voice is knowing the truth of his love and knowing what he has for us in the midst of that. You know, after I had the baby, I experienced some heavy postpartum depression, and we've been working through that. You know, and that's real life. You know, it's not all just this, it's glorious. It's all glorious, and God doesn't, nothing's wasted. But I just felt like I needed to say that. Like, God wants to use you where you are, how you are, to bring glory to him. It's not always for our glory. We're not going to be perfect in our weakness. He's perfect in our weakness, and he uses us in our weakness. And so I know this morning there's people here who are hurting, and maybe you feel like you can't be used by God because of your disappointment, because of your pain, because of your depression, because of your own hopelessness. But I say God is so much bigger than that. And if you can find just faith as small as a mustard seed to rise up and say, no, God, still use me. I do have a dream for a reason, for a purpose. You know, it's a beautiful thing that God would put a dream in our heart, and then he would give us the ability to do it, to partner with him to make that dream happen. You know, this is all a God thing. So my encouragement is just that if you're in a difficult place right now, you know, I would just encourage you to say that prayer. Here I am, Lord. in the midst of my difficulty, you can use me. You know, I might not feel 100%, but God can still be glorified through you. And that's really what we see happening in our ministry, is God using us in spite of us, which is great. So, yeah.